Blog Talk Radio.
Terminal Terminal fans, welcome to the show on another Sunday afternoon. Real quick before we jump into things with the guest, if you're looking for some professional wrestling today, Summit Pro Wrestling in Greenfield, Indiana. You have Boca Raton, Florida Wrestling in Boca Raton, Florida, featuring Ricky and Kerry Morton. Up in our neck of the woods, Without a Cause happening today in Everett, Washington. And Timber Pro Wrestling in Startup, Washington. That's where you can find me later today. But without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest today as we kick off Hall of Fame Month. All month long, we'll be having members of the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame. We start with this year's inductee, Paul Freakshine. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Well, like I said, you were this year's inductee into the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame 2022. We had the ceremony in Portland for you where we presented you with the plaque. A couple of your sons showed up to help out with the ceremony even. Can you tell us a little bit about what it meant to you to be inducted into the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame?
It was I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I was inducted. Something I never expected to be inducted into anything, and for my boys to be there to be with me and the fans, they was part of it too. They really, I don't know, it was very emotional for me.
Now, as the member of the Freak Shine, like the Freak Show boys, you don't normally have fans cheering for you. But on that night at the ceremony, you got a pretty loud and sustained ovation. I'm sure that caught you off guard. What was going through your mind as you heard fans cheering for you and chanting your name?
I really didn't expect it. Like I said, it was emotional for me because I, you know, as a heel, I'm not supposed to be liked or applauded for or anything like that. But you know, and my boys, even though they're faces and the good guys, they were right there and they supported me and they gave me their hugs and what have you, and it was just all around something I never expected from my boys or the fans or anybody.
Now, after the ceremony and after that night's show, you didn't swing by the local pawn shop to see how much you could get for the plaque, did you?
No, I hung on to it. I knew that you guys are so cheap that you wouldn't engrave anything in there or gold or anything like that. So I knew it wouldn't be worth anything to me other than the plaque itself.
Now, you also haven't hit anybody with it yet, have you?
No, I haven't done that. It's got my name engraved in there. My name is more important than anybody's face being against it.
Well, speaking of Hall of Fames and faces, I also got cheered at my Hall of Fame induction when I went into the HPW Hall of Fame class of 2013, although I almost had to die to get that because I broke my face like an hour before the ceremony happened.
I was wondering what was the matter with your face.
Yeah, well, it healed, but the dent is still in that floor to this day.
It still looks deformed.
That hurts me in my left kidney.
Well, at least it wasn't your right kidney.
Yeah, the pain's starting to slide over a little bit. Now, some of the members of the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame, for the fans wondering who all we have in there, the very first inductee ever, Aaron Bolo. We had Jim Chadwick. We have DeMarcus James. We have Troy Miller. We have Cameron Starr. We have No Class Brian Class. We have Princess Victoria. And we have Kevin Sullivan. That's a pretty good group of people right there. Did you sort of look up who you were joining prior to getting into the Hall of Fame, kind of get a feel for some of the company you were keeping, or did you not really delve into the other Hall of Famers yet?
No, I didn't. DeMarcus James, I know him. Cameron Starr, I know him. And Kevin Sullivan, I know him. Victoria, I've seen her, but I don't know her. That's about it.
Princess Victoria once in a while will pop up at Blue Collar Wrestling. She and Tex Thompson go way, way back to the Don Owen era. Now, you, I believe, the second manager to go into our Hall of Fame, the first being the late, great Jim Chadwick. Jim Chadwick was a fantastic manager. He was a booker. He helped a lot of people in the Kentucky area get bookings in different promotions, helped them improve their craft. He was a great guy, well respected. You might want to look up Gentleman Jim Chadwick at some point, kind of get a feel for your fellow manager inductee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I don't remember him. I don't know if I heard of him or not.
Possibly not. He never really left Kentucky, but he worked pretty much all over that entire state, maybe into southern Indiana a little bit. But once in a while, I carry my Jim Chadwick Memorial pink socks in my bag, and I will break those out. So if you ever see me walking around in pink socks, it's a tribute to Jim Chadwick.
You would run around in pink anyway, so.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Now, we also have in the Hall of Fame, of course, Kevin Sullivan's in there. He was a national star, but a lot of independent wrestlers in the Hall of Fame, especially early on, we had pretty heavy focus on independent people that were not necessarily national names, but they worked all over in the independents. As an independent that has yet to go to a national company, what's it mean for someone like yourself to get at least recognized by somebody's Hall of Fame for all the work you do in your own region? You may not go all over the country, but at least in your area, you're being recognized for what you do.
It means a lot because I've met a lot of people. I've been to several different cities in the Pacific Northwest. I've been to Washington. I've been to a few different cities in Washington. I've been to Spokane and Vaughan, Washington. And I've met a lot of people, and I've met a lot of great people, and a lot of people that have also helped me along the way.
Now, the qualifications we set for the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame, fairly simple. The only qualifications are you had to have been on the show at least once, which you've been on multiple times, and contribute positively and greatly to the wrestling industry, which obviously all of us involved in the show felt you have to this point. For the fans not necessarily familiar, Paul is been in the wrestling business under 10 years. He first, second generation. He followed his sons into the sport, got into the business at an age where most people are getting out of it. He's held multiple championships as a manager. He held the hardcore championship as a competitor. He was undefeated until he lost a match. He's driven countless miles with many, many different wrestlers in his vehicle to make sure they got to shows on time and got home safely. He's done everything anyone's ever asked of him in the wrestling industry. He's refereed some, he's wrestled, he's managed whatever they needed. Paul was there to do it. You do a lot of things in the industry, and I always tell young guys, try to learn everything because you never know what type of spot's going to be needed to be filled, and it just creates more opportunities the more you know. You seem to kind of embrace that from the beginning. Is that something that you picked up on right away, learning as much as you could to be able to do as much as you could?
Well, you know, I started out being a fan first. I grew up with wrestling. I mean, I grew up watching C.W. Bergstrom, Colonel DeBeers, Paul Ramos, Lonnie Mane, a whole bunch of them, you know. And so I kind of had a feel for it, and then one day they said, you know, I was out by ringside, and one day they said that to bring me back to the dressing room, and when I went back there, I didn't know what I was going back there for, and then I went back there, and they wanted me to walk out with a J.B. Moonshine, and from that then on, I started going out to the ring with well, of course, you know, I started out with J.B. and moved on until I decided that I could be better being a heel or a bad guy. I just I was getting tired of being a so-called cheerleader, and that's what I was as a good guy, as a glorified cheerleader, and that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be more involved.
Be more involved, you definitely were. I remember that very first match you mentioned, and I asked JB during instructions how long you'd been in the business, and he said, this is his first day. I think okay. That's the first time I ever experienced that, where it was someone's day one in the business, and they're already managing a semi-main event.
Yeah. I remember that. And I loved what I was doing and stuff, you know. I really enjoyed it.
Now, one thing fans won't have knowledge of, but a lot of the people in the business will recall this. You made your debut at NGW Northwest, and you went up to the promoter, and you introduced yourself as JB Moonshine. Why'd you do that?
I wanted to see if you were paying attention, and obviously you was, because you whispered to me, "You're not JB Moonshine." Then I had to change it.
Yeah, I was very positive you were not JB Moonshine. Now, if you had gotten away with it, and if I wasn't paying attention, were you going to go to the ring and wrestle as JB Moonshine that night?
I might have. I've been known to do some odd things, and you never know, I might have.
I mean, to be fair, I actually have done that.
Well, yeah. I've gone out to the ring as you before. So
that's true. You have, and I've gone out to the ring as you.
Yeah, you couldn't have been more handsomer that night than when you went out there with me.
I've heard people say it was the best that Paul Freakshine ever looked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was told that I did the best stupid things that a referee could have done too.
Oh, wow. Well, Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast, he doesn't mean to brag, but he has to boast because his favorite Whoopi Goldberg movie of all time is Ghost. He's standing by, and I know Coach has questions for you, so I'm going to pass things along to Coach.
Hey, Pa. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Shit, I've seen you at all over the place and been on a bunch of different shows with you. You guys you've always had an impressive group. My goodness.
Yeah, well, I always tried to have the best that I could get.
Okay. And then we have some, I have some standard questions I like to ask. And I know one of the Turnbuckle Turmoil standard questions is, sign guy and the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
What my favorite coffee to drink is?
Yes.
It's been so many years. I don't really drink coffee, so Boyd's was always good.
Okay. Yeah, we get that answer more often than not nowadays. Okay.
Now, to be fair, Paul used to drink coffee. He gave it up when he stopped driving long haul trucks.
Okay.
You got that. That's right. Yeah.
All right, we'll say, so who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was sports, music, wrestling, or ordinary life, or all the above?
Wrestling. I started going to wrestling when I was 8 years old. And that was 60 years ago. My mom took me to my first wrestling show when I was 8 years old at the Memorial Coliseum, the midgets were on. And I've just been a fan ever since. I was at ringside, at Don Owens shows. I remember ringside Rosie, Colonel DeVere's was at Don Owens, Lonnie Maine, Buddy Rose, Billy Two Eagles, Chief J. Strongbow, just so many, Bull Ramus, just so many of the old ones that I remember growing up with.
Right on, yeah. Yeah, Billy Two Eagles, I debuted against Billy Two Eagles in March of 1996. My goodness, that was quite the eye-opening.
I'll bet it was. Since I was a manager, I met the Honky Tonk Man and Kevin Sullivan. Just to name a couple, the late great Joyce the Clown, Matt Bourne, just name a few. So I've met a few. I haven't met a lot, but I've met a few.
Nice. And then, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't play any sports in high school or growing up or anything.
Okay.
Yeah. It kind of makes me remember telling JB that I said, why are you wrestling? I don't get it. I said, you quit football in high school because you didn't like getting hurt. And
okay.
Yeah. I never figured that one out, but anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
So being a manager, you once in a while have to mix it up or hold your own out there. What's your self-defense background?
I just do what I need to do to survive. I've taken a few bumps and here and there. I've had like five actual wrestling matches in my career. I've won them all. I just pay attention and I remember what I seen my boys do or what other of my guys do. I just pay attention.
So that's definitely some on the job training there.
Exactly, it really is.
Okay, and so what were some of the most memorable matches you've seen or been involved with, or both?
In Spokane, I was involved at a tag match with at that time it was with Lance Dean, and Lance was a face and I was a heel, and so it was we won our match, and that was one of the most memorable ones. I've got a picture of that one up on my wall where I was choking out one of the other guys, and the time that I was in a six-man tag with the pre-show and JB and the Moonshiners and I pinned JB. Maybe the manager versus manager with Kevin Brandt, where I pinned him. That's just three of the most memorable ones I like.
What about the most memorable matches you've seen?
Just about anything JB has done has been great. Even when he has gone against my monster, Big Vicious, he's always been a great performer, and he's always up there in the main event status and stuff. So just about everything JB's done has been great, I think.
Okay. And then speaking of Lance Dean is a special place in Turnbuckle Turmoil, especially since Sign Guy has termed the phrase, "You've been Lance Deaned." Tell us a little bit about that.
I didn't term the phrase. That phrase was used before I ever heard it.
Okay. You use it a lot.
I use it. I did not invent it, much to the contrary of what Lance Dean will claim. I did not invent it.
Okay.
I believe his brother on this very program says that he coined it.
Okay.
So are you talking about when we talk about you Lance Dean'd him?
Yes.
Sign Guy did invent that, I think. I can't really say that. JB kind of started that, I think, because whenever Lance has a tendency to open his mouth and sort of stick his foot in his mouth, so to speak, we all shake our head, and so we call that a Lance Dean. Because whenever Lance Dean will say something, we'll shake our head. And like JB will shake his head, "Are you Lance Dean me or something?" And he'll say yes.
Okay, yeah. So who are some of your favorite people to work with?
Uh, you know, of course, Big Fish is my favorite Zach Winters. And then we got Darkness, JB, Lance, you know, Goblin, I've gotten to work with him. I've gotten to work with several different performers. I can't off the top of my head think of all of them, but I've had quite a few.
Okay, nice. All right, and then so what other characters have you worked in the business?
You mean as myself?
Or in wrestling?
What other characters have I? I'm trying to understand the question.
So I guess you were Pa Moonshine before. Now you're Pa Freakshine. That's two different characters.
Oh yeah.
Was there more characters?
I've been known as the gold standard. I've been known as the 24 karat lady killer. Paul Freakshine is the most relevant one. Paul Moonshine, of course. I've gone out there as I was disguised as whatever that guy's name is on Saw.
Oh, Hannibal? No, Saw. Saw's different. Yes. Okay. That's cool.
That Halloween one time I went out doing that one.
And that guy's definitely spooky.
Yeah, I had my face painted white on that one with painted rosy red cheeks.
Okay, and then so since you've wrestled, so I guess it's a two-part question. Who's been some of the toughest opponents you've faced in the ring and against as a manager?
In the ring, it would have to be, JB Moonshine, as a manager, I don't know. There's several different matches with as a manager, JB. Again, JB's always tough. Then got Big Vicious and Zach Winters. You put Zach Winters up against JB Moonshine and. You, in my opinion, you got match of the year.
All right, cool. All right, and then what suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into the business?
Just learn all you can, and if you meet another manager, ask for advice from him. Even some of the wrestlers can give you advice on how to be a good manager.
Okay, and do you have any schools you'd like to suggest?
I don't really know of any schools. I never went to any of the schools myself. other than you know, I trained a little bit. Tex Thompson trained me on prior to my match against Kevin Brandt. Yeah, but as far as schools, I don't really know too many of the schools.
Okay, and then what do you got coming up?
What have I got coming up? To be honest with you, I've been retired for several months. I am retired. I'm going in for surgery December 5th. I'm going to be having brain surgery, I think I'm pretty much done.
Okay. And then how do people get a hold of you?
Instagram mostly. I'm on Instagram that's pretty much where I hang out at.
All right, Pa, I appreciate your time and for coming on. It's an honor to have you on and talk to you and have you in the Hall of Fame. I wish you all the luck in the world, brother. And I'm sure Sign Guy has more.
All right. Thank you much, Coach. And hopefully see you down the road sometime.
Same here, brother. Thanks.
Thank you, Coach. Well, Paul, we left off one person when I was mentioning Hall of Fame members. Your niece, Casey Carlisle, also a Hall of Fame member, making you the only uncle and niece tandem in the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame. How does it feel knowing at least one of your family members, and there's a lot of them, also in the Hall of Fame?
I'm quite proud of that. I'm glad that she and I get to share the same Hall of Fame as others do, and I'm proud of that.
Now, we've discussed this before, but I think it's an ongoing list that we can always add. How many Moonshine family members are there in the sports entertainment industry?
Oh my gosh, I don't think I've got enough fingers and toes to count them all.
I want to say unofficially we counted 19 at one point.
Yeah, I believe that.
Now there's actually been two J.D. Moonshines over the years. That's how many family members there are. You ran out of names for them.
Yeah, that's right. I did.
Now, you've been to enough towns now that you know that the fan bases can vary. Some towns have more passionate fans than others. Some towns prefer one particular style and that's it. Some towns like a variety of things. What would you say was the most fun town you had in performing?
I gotta say probably Spokane. They seem to there's a lot of fans there that they seem to sell out places there.
Now, there's a lot of wrestlers out there that you have not managed. If you could pick one person actively wrestling right now and you came out of retirement, because we all know everyone comes out of retirement, who would you most want to manage in the comeback?
Oh, wow. Zach Winters.
Okay. Going back to someone you already managed, all right. So I also managed Zach Winters for quite a while, as Coach can attest to. He's a very, very talented guy. He often disappears and then comes back. Do you think Zach maybe is one of the more underrated people on the entire independent circuit? Because he never really went out of the Northwest. He would disappear when things looked like he was on the verge of maybe branching out. And when he came back, he had to kind of reestablish, so he never really traveled much. Do you think maybe he's vastly underrated?
I think so. I think he could have made it bigger other places, but like I said, he never really branched out or anything. So yeah, he was pretty underrated, I think.
Oh, you mentioned having surgery upcoming. You've had a few injuries in your day over the last several years. What are some of the injuries that you've had that you had to recover from in your career?
Well, of course, there was the pile driver from Tommy C. And then there was when Lance Dean wrapped a chair around my shoulder and I had to go in and get that repaired. Then there was the time that Tectonic put me in the camel clutch and I had to have back surgery. So there's been a few, and now I have to I don't know if you made chair shots or what, but now I have to have the brain surgery.
Is it exploratory surgery?
Speak English.
Are they searching for where it might be?
No, so many chair shots that made my brain collapse, and now laying down on my ear, and they have to take a jawbone out of my jaw and put it up in there with a metal plate to hold it up. So otherwise, if they don't fix it, I could get meningitis, and that'll kill me.
Yeah, it could. Now, how fun is it going to be when you go through the airports with a metal plate in your head?
That I have no idea. I already have problems because I got a metal plate in my neck. So it's a chore.
Throw a couple of title belts in your bag, and then see how long it takes you to get through TSA.
That's right. Yeah, you're right about that.
You'll have to show up the day before your flight.
Yeah. At least I guess the positive side is, all these years of people that saying I ain't got no brains. Well, I proved them wrong. They found it.
I guess so. It just fell into your ear.
Yeah.
You may have taken someone a little too seriously when they told you to stick it in your ear.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, being at ringside so often, I know you've witnessed a lot of injuries as well. Been there when somebody got hurt in the ring. What are some of the scariest injuries that you've witnessed from ringside?
Well, Darkness got his broken leg at ringside, in the ring. Well, it was outside of the ring, but he was in a match, and that was pretty scary. And then there was a time where you can remember this one. It wasn't really an injury, but it could have been when Davey did a dive and his back of his head landed on the ring apron Caleb didn't give anybody a chance to make sure he was okay before he went on the attack again. That was
an injury. He was concussed.
Yeah, that's true. And he finished the match and he won the match too, by the way.
Despite someone running out screaming, "Stop the match! Ring the bell!"
Yeah, yeah. That one was pretty scary.
It scared poor Bob.
Yeah.
You have also been around long enough to have noticed there's a lot of really good young talent out there that are just getting their starts. Who are some of the younger talents you've seen over the last couple of years that perhaps in several years will be entering the Hall of Fames?
That's a tricky one. Young talent. I wish I could think of some of them. I can't. You've been around longer than I have. I can't even think of their names.
Wow. All young talent, remember, that's Paul Freakshine. Paul Freakshine, young talent.
Well, you know, there's a reason why I'm having brain surgery, because I can't remember.
I guess
things.
So. Now, like I said earlier in the show, you're reverse second generation. Do you foresee a day when we're going to see third generation Moonshine members pop up?
I don't know if we ever will or not. Lance Dean, you know, his little type might, you know, I really don't know if we'll see any others or not. At least I won't in my lifetime.
Well, I guess to be fair, the second J.D. Moonshine's son is tentatively booked against Lumber Zach's son when they turn 18. I've already been assigned to officiate that. So if that holds, we'll see that in like 10 years, or actually like 13 years.
You should be around then?
You never know. We could both be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, you never know. I never know from one day to the next, especially with this surgery coming up. You just never know.
Hey, Pa.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Stop the press. Because he's sign guy. He's so fly. Let me tell you why. He's never going to die because he's better than baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie. There you go.
I mean, some firemen did try to test your theory, Coach.
Oh, wow.
I mean, people thought I was dead. I was not. Poor Tracy Smothers.
Oh, just take one look at you and you look dead. I mean,
oh, goodness. No,
that hurts me in my spleen. Now, you've also worked on shows with a lot of guys that were very well known nationally. Who would you say was the biggest star that you've been on a show with so far?
I personally been on a show with would have to be Kevin Solon and Honky Tonk and again the late Doinker Clown. Well, no, I can't say that. I don't think I was a manager when Doink was at BCW. But Kevin Solon and Honky Tonk Man, I was there.
I was too. Yeah, that's actually probably the match I've most asked to boot that I've ever been involved with so far.
Oh, okay.
We'll also throw Big V's leg injury into the injuries you've seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
His
knee came
out of the socket in that match.
Yeah. It was like a damn tree trunk.
Yeah. I knew something was wrong when I asked if he was okay, and I got a very high-pitched no.
Yeah.
We also learned Honky Tonk Man doesn't know what go home means at night.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've explained it to him at loud volume since then.
Yeah.
Well, now, one of the people that does have national experience is a nephew of yours. You have been to the ringside with him before. I'm talking of the Gift, Jason Kincaid. What's it been like for you watching the career of Jason Kincaid as he's wrestled literally all over the world? And for some of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah, he has. He's got quite a history and quite a following. He's been gifted. That's for sure.
Absolutely. One of the things that you'll probably remember, even before you got into the business, the State of Oregon Wrestling Commission has been notoriously strict over the years, and they've made trouble for a lot of people in the industry in their time. For your own personal career, did you have much dealings with the commission?
No, not really. I never even seen the commission. So I didn't have any dealings with them.
Fair enough. Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes today, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you want, floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate all the business I've been in and stuff. I miss the fans. I miss the wrestlers. It looks like at 68 years old, my journey is performer and entertainer, Don Bubba. You can still get the moonshine shirt. You can still get the free show sweatshirts. You can still get the free show gimmicks. You know, it's endless. But yeah, as far as Paw Moonshine or Paw Freakshine, this is probably the last you'll probably hear of it.
Wouldn't shock me if you're back next week in a big swerve.
Well, maybe.
I've seen that before.
Yeah. I've seen so many people retire and then come back that I don't think I'm going to be one of them.
That's what they all say. I once had a guy retire right before my match. Killed the crowd. We barely got him back into the match. He was back the very next week. He never even missed a show.
Oh, my gosh.
Boots laid out in the ring, tears flowing. I'll never be back in the ring again. Never missed one show.
Yeah.
So I said to him the next time I see him, I says, Mr. Basher, could I ask you favor of you? He's like, yeah, what is it? I said, would you not retire before my match again? And he laughed. He said, sorry about that. I'm like, sure you are. He could have held off his retirement for like a few hours.
Sounds like something Coach would do.
No. Boy, we could see that maybe. Leave the whistle in the ring and then he comes back the next week.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
All right, well, as we wrap things up, before I forget a second time, there's also a show at the Outlaw Arena. It is a WCWO show, but not being ran by the normal WCWO promoters. It's a benefit show for raising funds for the military families for the holidays, so get out there, support that if you're near that. Like I said, I'll be at Timber Pro Wrestling here in a little while without a cause starting up in Everett. You can find me on the social medias, Chicken Bob, who's feeling much better these days. He also on the social medias. Coach, you have some things to plug and promote.
Yeah, don't forget to check out CPW School Wrestling in Arlington next week. And then you can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. The Seattle Mariners Organizational Report. And I'm very proud to have my own podcast. Thank goodness for Sign Guy for leading me that way and helping me get set up for the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. I'll be having Lewis Rock back on next week. He's got quite the story about his time with Roddy Piper. I've had him on for 2 hours a month or so ago. It's my number one rated show, over 2,000 listens already. I thought Sunny from Glow would have matched his. No, she has a long ways to go to even reach half of Lewis Rock's listens. So excited to have him back on. And, of course, he was on Turnbuckle on Friday. That was a special show also. Too bad I couldn't get beyond that show. But, yes, every Saturday at noon Pacific, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast. And I want to thank our number one sponsor, A-Plus Payless Handyman Services. And then also, Wild Lyle was over there at the SOS school today training with Dean Cooper and Viento. So that was exciting. And, of course, me and Lyle worked out hard at Fitness Quest today, just like we do every weekend. I want to thank all you guys for your love and support and all your input and feedback. We appreciate you guys so much. Thanks so much.
All right, well, listeners, we'll be back with you next week, next Friday we have Timothy Bryan on the show making up his appearance where we have the technical difficulty gimmick. And 1 week from today, a special start time. It'll be noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, to accommodate the American football schedule of our very own Cameron Starr, Hall of Fame member. She's in multiple Hall of Fames, as a matter of fact. So you better listen to that or she'll knock you out with the forearm. Forearm Ninja Cameron Starr with us. Everybody stay safe out there. Get out, support your local independent pro wrestling wherever it may be. And we will talk to you soon.